This is Faith Works Live, brought to you by Baldwin Heating and Plumbing, 515-371-4036. Now here's the host of Faith Works Live, Michael Damascus.
Hey, I'm so glad that you're joining us today on Faith Works Live, 99.3 FM, The Truth, and we're back in the studio. I've taken a little bit of a hiatus.
Back in the saddle again.
Amen, amen, amen.
That wasn't even close, I don't think.
I don't care, but it was a really good time away because I got to be with my family, and I know that Chris did too.
I did.
And that is, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting to be an old fart, but
You said it.
I just, that's like the best thing.
It is.
It's genuinely one of the best things I think on the earth is just to be able to be together, you know, and enjoy each other, especially those that you're really close to. So I don't know. Thanksgiving is my favorite. And we're entering into Christmas season. It's not that I don't love celebrating the birth of Christ, but to be frank, part of the experience as a pastor and just even as a Christian and as a human on this planet is fighting the materialism of this season. You know, trying to stay the course and not get drawn into all of the other stuff that Christmas seems to try to be about. Thanksgiving isn't really that kind of a battle.
Just about the only
the battle in Thanksgiving is don't eat too much. But basically it's...
Or really, where is that line?
Let's be together.
Can you cross it? Three pies too many to eat?
Not only can you cross it, you can set up a colony on the other side of that line.
Yes. If only they would let me
live there.
I had, just while we're on that subject, I think I had about three Thanksgiving meals over the week at different family houses and stuff like that. And one of them was kind of the buffet style where everything's set out, you know, so you didn't have to, we weren't seated and passing things. And what I love about those is I turn into potluck mode. If you know what I'm talking about, if you've been to church potluck, if you're ever to church potluck with me, you will notice that I do not go first. And people think, oh, Chris, you're so generous. You're such a gentleman. You know, you let the ladies go and the children go.
No, that's because you don't want people to see how high you're piling the plate.
I have a role. My role at the church potluck is cleanup crew. I'm non-discriminant. I just get, oh, here's, you know, because nobody wants to be the person to take the last little bit of the macaroni and cheese. Well, that's what I'm there for. So I take the end of that, and I take the end of this, and I take that, and I just fill it up. And nobody judges me. In fact, they thank me.
It's like you're a selfless martyr.
You know, really, I think
you're
when
thinking
it comes
about
to,
others.
I really do. I put others ahead of myself.
As you eat all the rest of the food.
All the food.
Oh, man. Hey, we're really glad that you're joining us today. This is Tuesday, which means it's Life Tuesday here on FaithWorks Live.
Yes.
Tim Overland is usually with us, but he's not with us today. He's doing exactly what we were just talking about. He's having kind of a Thanksgiving gathering this evening.
Yeah.
Neither Chris or I have ever bought into the hashtag pro-life t-shirt Tuesday.
I think I just don't have enough.
Yeah, I got one.
We should start a fund.
GoFundMe page. No. Help us have t-shirts. I've got way too many t-shirts. But here's the deal. We're going to have a discussion regarding life, in particular the life of a man. A man that is now with Jesus. His name is John Chow. And I don't know if you heard this story or not, but John Chow had a heart for telling people, especially people that don't know about Jesus, about Jesus. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to make sure Jesus got to be known amongst people who didn't know him. And so one of the things that John Chow did was he went to an island off the coast of India to this isolated tribe, I guess, from what I understand, is like one of the most isolated people groups on planet Earth. That people group is protected. You know, it's illegal to go to this island, and it's illegal to try to make contact with them, all of these things. So John Chow thought Jesus needs to be known amongst these people. They're so cut off from everything. Somebody needs to go take Jesus to them.
Yeah, and just so you know, right? So the India as a country, has protected them. They're protected by India law to maintain their way of life and protect them from modern illnesses because of their lack of immunity. So part of what India saw was, we've got this island group, and I apologize, I'm not going to attempt to say the name of the people just out of respect, honestly, because I don't know how to say it.
Right, I wasn't going to try either.
But you can look this up online and see it. But this is a small island of people who've lived there for quite some time, and they are protected. It's illegal to go there. They are not, people from the outside of the island are forbidden to go there.
So John Chow, what he did was he got a boat. He hired or rented a boat and had them take him close to this island, which was, I think, you know, even the people that he rented the boat from knew that he was doing something illegal. As the story got laid out, what I understand in it is he got off the boat, went to the shore. Some of the tribal people came out. They shot some arrows at him. He went back again to the boat and then kind of regained some courage again and went back again to the shore. Of course, exclaiming, I think in English, "I come in peace, I come in peace," but they shot him. And the last that the boat drivers saw was he was screaming, "Don't kill me, don't kill me," as they were dragging his body away from the beach. So it ended in a tragedy. But now it's kind of become this thing in social media where there's a lot of articles about the foolishness of this man, John Chow. Why did he break all these laws? I've even heard people say missionaries don't break laws to spread the gospel. That's not how you do it. Which anybody that studied missiology knows that that's completely untrue. So that's just not a true statement at all. And in fact, the idea of taking Jesus into hostile regions has been something that missionaries have done for a very, very long time. John Chow is in a long line of individuals who have done things like this. But the question is, was it foolishness or was it courageousness? It really depends upon your vantage point. I want to know your thoughts. Was John Chow a martyr or was he a fool? Why don't you call us at 515-727-5842. You can text us at that same number, 515-727-5842, and we'll read your text on air. But I tend to believe John Chow was an amazing, courageous martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. He showed amazing courage to lay down in his willingness, frankly. He wasn't stupid. He knew that this was a possibility. And his willingness to lay down his life in the hopes that somebody in that tribe might get to know about Jesus.
You know,
that's an amazing thing.
It is. I heard about this story, surprisingly, over the holiday week. I was actually, my father-in-law actually just was sharing this story with me. And when I heard about John Chow, John Allen Chow, this missionary to, and I believe it's North Sentinel, I believe is how you say that, Sentinelese, I can't say it well, and again, I want to respect these folks, but this island off of India, when I heard this story about these people that were protected, no one had been there, no outsiders had gone there, no one from even India travels there, fishermen are forbidden from going there, and that this lone individual, John Allen Chow, were to go over there. And I heard this story. I thought, this can't be true. Is this really a thing that happened? This sounds like the olden days of missions. You know, this is the stuff you hear of legend. I think the thing that came to my mind was, in fact, Jim Elliot was kind of what came to my mind when I heard this story.
Yeah. At the end of the spear.
At the end of the spear. And if you've read his book or the account of his adventures and his work. And I told my father, the great thing about Jim Elliot is I told my father about Jim Elliot. I said, "Do you know who that is?" And he goes, "I don't think I know who that is." And I was telling him about Jim and a little bit about Elizabeth and about their work. And I said, he too went to this sort of tribal people group that had never heard of Jesus. And no outsiders had really visited with them. They were a very hostile group. And he went there and he ended up dying, and he died at the end of a spear. He was impaled on the beach. Him and his co-laborer and co-pilot of an aircraft both died on the beach there. And he goes, "Oh, it sounds a lot like John Chow." And I said, "Well, no, it's not the same yet. And there's a couple of reasons why I think it's different. But Jim Elliot, the end of the Jim Elliot story, for those who know, is fantastic. For those who don't know, that tribal people came to know Christ. This is now a tribal group that now knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. In fact, one of the tribal leaders, one who was involved with the killing of Jim Elliot, had actually toured the United States with Jim Elliot's son telling people about Jesus. I think that is an incredible story. Absolutely fantastic story. And we don't know the end of John Chow's story. But here's my vote. People are saying that he's a martyr. Some people think he's a fool. I would not go so far as to say that John Chow was a fool. I think that would be rude and disrespectful. I don't think that. I don't know the man. I don't know him. However, I will say this. His mission effort here seemed not quite thought out. I'm not entirely sure that this was not just some excitement of a young person doing something, quote unquote, radical for Jesus. It does seem foolish to me. I don't think the man was a fool. I don't know what God is doing. I don't know what God is up to with John Chow or how God is going to finish this story. But from my vantage point, this seems like one guy going to a place where he shouldn't have been and being murdered, and I don't see a lot of fruit coming from that. The difference between his story and Jim Elliot's story to me is that Jim did not go alone. He went with a large group of people. They camped nearby, and they did a lot of slow efforts to make connections with a tribal group that they did not speak the same language with. Jim Elliot did not go running into this tribal area with a Bible screaming, Jesus loves you, and got stabbed. There's a big difference there. Jim Elliot did die, but his death didn't end his work because his work wasn't all dependent upon his energy. That makes sense.
Well, that's what we're talking about today, and we're wondering what you think about this man. Maybe you haven't even heard of this story. It happened just a little over a week ago. John Chow, he decided to evangelize the people of this isolated island region off the coast of India. The island is called the North Sentinel Island.
Right.
And so this people are protected by the country of India. They are, you're not allowed to go into their waters. You're not allowed to go onto their land. Part of that is to protect them from any kind of diseases because they don't have any vaccinations or anything like that. But there are a very isolated people group that are protected. But this is a people group that doesn't know about Jesus. And so John Chow decided somebody's got to take the news. Somebody has to go. And he went. And I want to know if you think that was foolhardy, or if you think that was incredibly brave. Why don't you call us at 515-727-5842. You can text us as well what your thoughts are. Was John Chow a fool or a martyr? 515-727-5842.
This is Faith Works Live, brought to you by Baldwin Heating and Plumbing, 515-371-4036. Now here's the host of Faith Works Live, Michael Damascus.
If you have opened up the door to your home today, you know it's colder than it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be this cold. Why do we live here? Why do we live in this area where it's this cold?
It's wonderful. It's beautiful.
It's disgustingly cold. And I'm writing a strong letter to God about it, just so that you know. I'm put out over this bad cold weather. But I will say this. We have the blessing of being able to stay inside like a hobbit and just soak up cheese and warmness. That's what we want to do. But if your furnace doesn't operate correctly, you're not going to be like a hobbit. You're going to be like an orc. So to avoid being an orc, call Baldwin, Baldwin, Dallas County's oldest, Baldwin Heating and Plumbing. They'll get you back up right to good old furry feet Hobbiton. 515-371-4036. That's 515-371-4036. My name is Mike Damascus, and I am the host guest one here on FaithWorks Live. Really honored that you're tuning in to 99.3 FM, The Truth. Join us in our discussion. It's Life Tuesday, and we're talking about a man's life. A man's life that was laid down just recently. A man by the name of John Chow. John Chow went to an isolated region of India, an island off the coast of India, North Sentinel Island. And he wanted to convert this isolated people group to Christianity. He wanted to bring the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to these people. He was martyred doing so. He was killed. Some people are arguing that this man was incredibly foolhardy. He was a fool for doing this. He could have exposed these people to all kinds of diseases. This is a group that's not vaccinated. They're protected by law. You're not supposed to reach out to them. He broke laws. It was a mess. He didn't think this thing through. And so, you know, we're asking the question, was John Chow a fool or was he a martyr? I happen to believe that John Chow was incredibly courageous in what he did. And I want to share something for you. But before I share that, Pam, you called in. You too can call in like Pam at 515-727-5842. Pam, you want to weigh in on this. What do you think, John Chow? Was he a fool or was he a martyr?
I believe that he was a martyr because the Lord promises that wherever we go, he is with us. So the Lord was with him and he did what the Lord told him to do. If he thought it through and really prayed about it before he went.
Well, you know, we're asked a point blank question in Scripture. How will they know unless someone goes to tell them?
And we're told exactly. That's what the end of most of the Gospels say, is take the gospel to the world. That's what our job is. They won't hear unless somebody tells them.
And so, I find it interesting that we, I'm not saying you, Pam, okay, I'm making that clear,
okay,
but we fat, happy Christians in America are looking at this man, judging him for what he's done, and we're all sitting on the couch watching our big screen TVs with potato chips on our mouth. Who have we told about Jesus Christ? You know, I think I'm with you 100%, Pam. I think you are dead accurate on this. This man was an incredibly brave man doing something that most of us probably won't do in our life.
I'm even afraid sometimes to share at the mall, but I got over that fear by praying before I go into places, that if I'm supposed to say something to someone, that the Lord will have me do it. And maybe I can encourage others to do the same. Share your faith when you're out there, because some of them will never hear unless you do.
Amen. Pam, thank you for calling today and sharing your thoughts. I want you to call in just like Pam did at 515-727-5842. You can text us your thoughts as well at 515-727-5842. What do you think? Was John Chow a martyr or was he a fool? I happen to think that this man was incredibly courageous. Chris, you take a converse. I don't know that you're saying that he's a fool, but you're saying, I just don't know that he was thinking this all the way through.
You know, listening to you and Pam have a great conversation, and again, thank you, Pam, for calling in. It struck me, I think, where I'm different. I would say that I don't get the sense that John Allen Chow's efforts were thought through. Pam said that if the Lord was calling him to do that, that he did what was right. Amen to that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if God said, John, I want you to go do this, he went and did it and he died, I think he did exactly what the Lord told him to do. If that's in fact what happened, I guess, right? So I am not here to question what God is and will do with this story and with his efforts. But from the surface, from what I understand about this story, two things. One, it seems a bit misguided. And two, I think it has an approach to missions work that really misses the point a little bit. I think he didn't quite get it. And that's going to sound kind of arrogant. But running into an island of people who don't want you there, who have weapons, who are going to kill you, who have killed other people. By the way, this is not the first time this has happened. Other people have gone to this island and have been killed by these people, and no charges are brought against them. When fishermen have gone to that island and have been shot with bows and arrows and died, no charges have been brought against these people. This is not the first time this has happened. So when you know that that's what's going to happen and you run to this island telling them about Jesus in some way, shaking Bibles at them, which maybe they've probably never seen, and they kill you, I don't know that I call that courageous. I call that, I didn't quite think that through. I often think of the movie Braveheart. We love Braveheart. We think of William Wallace standing in the line of all these great Scotsmen with blue paint on their face, right? And they get all riled up, and William Wallace gives this great speech, and they all go run off into this great...
They may take our lives. They may take our horses. But they can never take our freedom!
Right. What if about 20 minutes or 30 minutes before that speech, one guy got kind of a tinkling itch in his leg and just started running off charging against the enemy? Do you think he'd make it? I think what I'm getting at is there's a time and a place to do this kind of work. And I think missions work is not the endeavor like this, especially of one single individual. I don't know that, to me, the gospel is not, here's a Bible, Jesus loves you. I don't think that that's the gospel necessarily. In this way. I don't think that's the way that we, and it's not the way that the gospel has been reached, spread throughout the majority of the world historically. I think there is holistic approaches that we can do to this. I think reaching these people and a desire to reach that island people for Jesus Christ is a good endeavor, and it will cost something, but I'm not sure that John was effective. I don't know, but it doesn't seem like he was effective.
We want to hear from you on this topic. Do you think that John Chow was a martyr for Christ, or was he just a fool and he didn't think it through? That's what we're trying to figure out. I happen to believe that he was an incredibly courageous martyr, and I want to know if you agree with me. Call in at 515-727-5842 or 515-727-5842.
This is Faith Works Live, brought to you by Baldwin Heating and Plumbing, 515-371-4036. Now here's the host of Faith Works Live, Michael Damascus.
You can't buy this in a local grocery store. You can't just go walk into some grocery store, go to the meat counter and say, I want some Animus beef. We're talking about farm fresh beef. Farm to table beef that's good for you and your family. As I said, Animus beef. You should look them up on Facebook, Ohnemus beef. But this is a beef that you got to get through a process, and it's an investment. But man, is it good for you and your family. No steroids, no antibiotics. We're talking about young Angus-based corn-fed beef that is good for you and your family. So call David Animus today at 515-238-7505. That's 515-238-7505. My name's Mike Damascus, and I'm the host guest one here on Faith Works Live. And I am really, really honored that you're tuning in to 99.3 FM, The Truth. We're talking about today. It's Life Tuesday, and Tim Overland's usually with us, but he's not today. Chris Roloff's joining me in studio, and we're...
I'm doing my best Tim and Overland impression.
Okay. That's good. That was neat. But we're talking about John Chow. John Chow was a missionary. At least he had a missionary mindset. He wanted to tell people about Jesus who don't know about him. And so John Chow went to an isolated region of India. It's an island off the coast of India called the North Sentinel Island. And it's one of the most isolated people groups on planet Earth. And he went to try to tell these people about Jesus, and he was killed by these people doing so. So we're asking, do you think he was a martyr, or do you think he was just foolhardy? Dan, you're jumping on this. You want to jump in on, what do you think? Was John Chow a martyr, or was he a fool?
I don't know. I was just wondering, is he really dead? Do we know that for sure? Just Jesus might have saved him at the last moment just to, for the miracle they need to see. That you're serving the one true living God.
Well, I mean, the only thing that I guess we can say is we can go off the reports of the the boat people that he rented the boat from.
They were
saw,
fishermen.
Yeah, they saw him, his body being dragged away. They saw him screaming, "Don't kill me." So those there's that part of it, but
and
no.
The, and the report said that they buried his body on the beach.
Okay, well then that. Yeah, and
The
body has not officially been recovered as of yet, though. They're trying to get that worked out.
Yep.
So I'm just curious. Just you know, Jesus does weird things every now and then.
He does.
Jesus does weird things. Hey, that's that should be a T-shirt. But thanks, Dan, for calling. I appreciate that.
You bet. You
too can call in just like Dan did at 515-727-5842. You can text us at that same number, 515-727-5842. I happen to be of the persuasion that John Chow was an incredibly courageous individual. And I want you to hear this. This is not me. These are not my words. This is a friend of mine that shared some thoughts on this man. And I want you to hear this. All it takes for one person on that island is to ask this question. Who was this man? Why did he come here? That's all it takes to discover that God had sent that people a savior. They didn't know who he was. They rejected his selfless love, and they murdered him. John Chow's martyrdom becomes a profound illustration of the story of the cross, a sermon with more depth and breadth than any amount of words that he could have ever preached, a catalyst event for future generations. He may not have preached the cross with words, but he demonstrated it with his own flesh. There is no greater example of authentic Christianity than this. It might not describe your best life now pop Christian paradigm, but it reflects an understanding of the best life ever. I do not feel sorry for John Chow. I feel gratitude for his example and secure that he will be rewarded. On the other hand, I feel sorry for the professing Christian that is so earthly minded that they fail to see his victory. They're so lukewarm, they fail to comprehend his sacrifice. They're so consumed with the cares of the world that they squander things of eternal value to indulge themselves in temporal comforts and religious games. So we got a call. Mike, you wanted to jump in on this conversation. What do you think about John Chow?
Well, a couple of things. If you're familiar with the story of John Elliott, the men that killed him actually later reported that as he died, they saw angels dressed in bright, brilliant white. They actually came out with that story later and said that how terrified they were. It actually helped them come to salvation at a later date because they were just so frightened at that experience of what they saw. So it's possible that maybe the men that killed John Chow saw the same or had that same experience. I mean, who knows? But anyway, the second point is, according to his letters that he wrote, he made a few attempts to warm up to these people with gifts first. I don't believe he just charged onto the beach one time and was murdered. I mean, according to his letters, he gave them gifts. One of the gifts was actually a football, which that wouldn't seem like the best choice of a gift to warm up to him. But according to these letters that are starting to come out, he did make some attempts. And it seems like Chris's point of view is that maybe he should have taken some men with him, like John Elliott did. But I'm not sure that would make much difference. These people seemingly have an endless supply of arrows, and five unarmed men would be dead rather than just one.
Hmm.
So that's just something that I think on the deal.
What do you say, Chris?
Mike, I don't know all the details, right? Like, so I had heard that too, that he had sent some gifts. I like you, think I'm not sure what a football means. You know, how much did he know of their language? I mean, Jim Elliott did a lot of work to try to understand how they communicated. There's a lot of effort to communicate with the people in a way that they would understand it. I guess my point would be that this form of missions work, and this is going to sound rude, like I'm some missiologist or something, but it seems kind of outdated. I think that we've learned a lot about how to reach folks. Obviously, I think I want a T-shirt that quotes Dan. Jesus does weird things. I think God can do anything. I don't think that John Chow's efforts are in vain. I don't know that. I think that God can redeem anything. I wouldn't advise this kind of work. It didn't seem very well planned out. But again, I don't know how much. Now, he was affiliated with a church, which does give me some comfort. Actually does encourage me a little bit, John. He was a graduate of Oral Roberts University and was involved with Covenant Journey, which is a prominent Christian ministry. And so the folks of Covenant Journey, in fact, the founder and chairman of the organization, did know about his work and knew he was over there. So that does give me comfort that he was not acting completely alone, right? I think there were some ecclesial bodies over him, if that makes sense. But.
Sure.
Well, hey, I appreciate you calling in and sharing your thoughts, and we want you to call in as well, just like he did, and we hope that you will. 515-727-5842. Chris, you got some more thoughts on this.
Yeah, I absolutely, fundamentally, almost in every way conceivable, disagree with the thing you wrote, read before Mike called in. I don't like what that individual said. Could I see that?
Oh,
you had
absolutely.
It written out. I don't know this individual either. This was, who wrote this?
That's Chase Gordon, actually the brother of Kerry Gordon. We've used to carry on the radio here. Kerry Gordon's the preacher at Cornerstone World Outreach in Sioux City, Iowa. And Chase is on staff at the church, too. And he's a good, good guy. And I wholeheartedly endorse all that he said, and I agree with it 100%.
Yeah, I completely disagree with it. But let's see what Eric called in at 515-727-5842. Eric, what's you thinking?
Hey, Mike, I usually agree with you, but I'm thinking, you know, there's verses. I was just trying to look on my phone. You know, if they don't receive you and your word, then shake the dust off your feet. I mean, there's a lot of places that we know from history that we just can't go waltzing in and share the gospel, you know, and so we find other ways, whether it's, you know, gospel booms, gospel tracts that are blown across the borders of nations, stuff like that, country. So, you know, I don't know the whole story. I'm just trying to listen and catching you guys here and there as I'm driving, but you know, it sounds like there was some foreknowledge that they weren't receptive to the gospel.
Yeah,
maybe it's kind of like the idea your Calvinist friends there. Maybe he hasn't opened their spiritual eyes yet.
Well,
there you go.
Hey, I appreciate you calling in, Eric. You can too at 515-727-5842. We'd love to hear from you, or you can text us at the same number, 515-727-5842. Do you think John Chow was a martyr, or do you think that he really didn't think this whole process through? Chris, you had a problem with some words that I shared from Chase Gordon. What are your problems with it?
I think what Chase Gordon said here is incredibly dangerous. And here's why. I think it's foolish, and I don't think that we should inspire people to do what John Chow did. I don't think that's what we should encourage, and we can talk about that.
Yep. We don't want you to give your all for Christ. 515-727-5842. You can text us at that same number, 515-727-5842.
This is Faith Works Live, brought to you by Baldwin Heating and Plumbing, 515-371-4036. Now here's the host of Faith Works Live, Michael Damascus.
Personhood Iowa believes that all human life is created equal and sacred without exception. Therefore, every person deserves to be protected by law from fertilization until natural death. Personhood Iowa is a Christian organization that meets with churches, pastors, small groups, legislators, and community leaders all across the beautiful state of Iowa. Their goal is to defend human life through education, legislation, and service to make the killing of the preborn person unthinkable. And I would encourage you right now, today's Giving Tuesday, hashtag, I got to say that before I say Giving Tuesday, hashtag Giving Tuesday. That's what today is.
I call it hashtag giving guilty for spending tens of thousands of dollars on Cyber Monday. But anyway, go ahead.
Hashtag Giving Tuesday. So I would encourage you to go to prolifechristmas.com. And why don't you actually get some gifts with a purpose? Go to prolifechristmas.com and buy some stuff. And when you do, you're actually helping support Personhood Iowa. You're helping, you know, do something with your pro-life position. So that's what you can do. Go to prolifechristmas.com, or you know what? Go to all of the groups. I mean, go to parenteen.com and check out their website. Go to their thing. Donate online to them. It's hashtag Giving Tuesday. Donate to anybody that is a pro-life organization. Agape, Alpha Women's Center, Ruth Harbor. How about Restored by Grace? Iowans for Life, Iowa Right to Life, Natural Journey Alliance. Can I name any more? There's a lot of groups that you can support on this day. It's Life Tuesday. Don't make the mistake of letting hashtag Giving Tuesday go by and not giving some money where it's due. How about this? Why don't you support your local church on hashtag Giving Tuesday? The place that spiritually feeds you and nourishes you, cares for you, pastors you, all of those things. Why don't you support your own congregation too? I mean, I know you might already do that. Give them a little extra. Go to your church website and go to their online giving. Okay, my church is too small. We don't have anything like that. Our church doesn't even have a website. We got a bulletin board. Okay, well, go to the church's bulletin board and pin a $20 bill on there, or just take some extra money with you this Sunday. That's a good thing to do. Commit to take some more money extra to Sunday offering if you don't do that. But this is the thing, guys. I think that you should not waste this opportunity. It's Life Tuesday here on FaithWorks Live. We're talking about the life of a man, John Chow. He went to this island off the coast of India, North Sentinel Island, and he did it with a purpose. He did it to go there and tell these people about Jesus Christ. That's why he went, and he was martyred for it. And there are a lot of people that are criticizing his actions. They're calling him a fool for Christ. They're saying that was just not right. It wasn't good. And they weren't saying that in a positive way. You know, we hear people in Christ claim, "I'm a fool for Christ." Well, they're not saying that in a good way. So, you know, I happen to be of the mindset that this man did something of eternal significance. He did something that has the potential to change generations of this unreached people group forever for Christ, because they'll wonder, who was this man? Why did he come here? Why did he come bringing gifts? Why was he trying to come to us? That's all it takes, is that question, as my brother and friend Chase Gordon said. Now, Chris took issue with that. Chris believes that we should not give our all for Christ. He believes that we should kind of hold back. You know, we should, you know, share the gospel only if they're receptive. Is that a good characterization of your position?
Nope. So it's not. So Case Gordon said this: all it takes is for one person on this island to ask, who was this man? Why did he come? To discover that God sent them a savior. What? All they have to do is ask, who is this man? Why did he come? To discover that God sent them a savior?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What? Do you know what blind spots are? Blind spots are those things where areas where you can't see. They're big, giant gaps of space where you actually don't even know that something's missing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're driving down the highway and you've got a blind spot and you turn over and there's a car there. Right? You just can't see what's missing, but there is something there.
Mm-hmm.
This has an incredibly huge blind spot in it.
What is the blind spot?
A savior?
They will learn about the savior Jesus Christ through the acts of a man who was willing to give his life to bring the message of Jesus to them.
But you said the same thing. Does anybody else hear the gap? What I'm trying to say is there's a giant gap. These people don't know of Jesus. Okay. They don't know of a savior.
How can they know unless somebody goes? How can they ever hear about the gospel unless somebody walks onto that island, is willing to risk it all to give them the message of Jesus? Now, here's the great thing. What John Chow did is he laid down his life, and somebody might be willing to risk it all to figure out why he would be willing to do that. And that would be the open door for the gospel of Jesus Christ into that people group.
So when someone comes onto your property, mm-hmm. and you shoot them with a gun dead, do you sit there and go, huh, I wonder why they came onto this property. Maybe they were coming to tell me that they love me. Is that what happens? Is that the normal process? I mean, I just had the experience of going to Eastern Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
the hills of Eastern Tennessee. Now, there's mm-hmm. some parts of Eastern Tennessee that have some flavor to them, okay?
What does that mean?
Barbecue, oh. as Ron said.
Hmm.
You know, the Hatfields and McCoys of our times past, they're people who shot one another because mm-hmm. they came on each other's property.
Mm-hmm.
Did they think to themselves, oh, it's because they love me that they want to rescue me, that they came onto their property? See, I think the fundamental error in this is to understand that the people who lived on an island don't feel like they need to be rescued. They're not looking to be saved. They're
right.
happy.
Right.
And someone coming to their island and dying because they shouldn't have been there doesn't move them to compassion.
We want to know what you think. We want to know how you think that I'm right and Chris is wrong at 515-727-5842. You can text us at that number, and we did receive a text. Ron, would you read that for us?
Yes, the texter says, to follow the Great Commission, you need to put it on the line.
Mm. I don't disagree, and I think that comparing Hatfields and McCoys to an unreached people group isn't a good analysis. I mean, that's not a good analogy.
What I'm saying is, and this is, we don't even have enough time to go into it. There are so many things about what Chase Gordon said, and what you're saying here that miss fundamental. There are gaps missing. We look at the Jim Elliott story and we go, "Wow, that's miraculous," because it was, in fact, miraculous.
Right.
And that was a miraculous event.
I think
Elliott story, though, is not the template for how the gospel spreads across the world.
Your recliner quarterbacking right now of this situation is a little too early. So let's give it 10 years. Let's come back to this and talk about it a decade from now, especially if, like the Jim Elliott story, this people group has been won over to Jesus Christ. Because others followed the example of John Chow. Others were actually able to make it into there and start to make headway into these people's lives. That's the thing, dude. I think that this is not a story that's over. I think it's a story that is ongoing. I think it's a story that it kind of makes me feel ashamed for my kind, my style of Christianity.
See, and that's why I think this is a problem. What you just said right there is why I think this is a problem. Because we're taking the efforts of John Chow and saying that's what a real Christian does.
No.
And you
no.
do the work that you do on a daily basis to serve your family and to serve your neighbors, to serve your company, to serve your community.
Right.
That's not real Christian work. Real
no, that's
Christian
not what I'm saying.
Is dying and being a martyr on an island
no.
and being shot by people who didn't want you on their island.
It's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
But what I am saying is this, is that I could use a little bit more risk in my life. I could use a little bit more challenge for Jesus than I have. I'm fat and happy, and I like my comfort, you know. And I'll close out with this. My wife and I, when we went to Bible College in Lincoln, Illinois, Lincoln Christian College and Seminary, it's now Lincoln Christian University, we heard of a family that came to that school. They went to get their master's degree and left for the mission field in Africa. Before they left, they had all of their teeth removed. And got dentures because the region they were going to work in had nothing like that. And they did not want their own teeth to get in the way of their work on the mission field. And you've already got this puzzled look like, that's just nuts. That's crazy. That's what a lot of people think. But they were willing to risk everything, to sacrifice much for the gospel so that nothing could hinder what they were going to do. That's the path that I think John Chow walked that is so exemplary to me. I think that this man is an incredible hero. And he has a long line of people that went before him that gave their life and gave their all for the gospel of Jesus Christ. One day, maybe I'll get that opportunity too. Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Wednesday on FaithWorks Live.